Market Watch is proudly brought to you by Top Sport, home of the Top Sport betting multi. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858. G'day everyone, welcome to another special edition of the Market Watch podcast. It's proudly brought to you by topsport.com.au, home of the best multis. Just on that too, some breaking news coming out of Top Sport HQ. We'll get to that very shortly. The usual suspects are in attendance. I refer to, of course, I think he's down to number 8 seed now up there at Top Sport, Tristan Merlihan. And of course, Jared Condon from readingtheplay.com.au, always creative with his lunch bet tallies. How are you, gentlemen?
Very good, Jimmy. And yeah, I have dropped down the pecking order of rankings, but I am in front of one C Merlihan. Charlotte Merlihan's dropped to number 42nd. She's got to come through not just challenges, but ITF going forward. And I'm sure we'll get to that later in the show. But yeah, it's been been an interesting week. Obviously, Easter weekend. Titans didn't quite deliver on the weekend, and plenty of other good games of football. It's good to see a few of the other teams, the Tigers in particular. They were very strong on Easter Monday, but we've got another big weekend, as we always say, coming up. And yes, looking forward to getting the update from Jared, read the lunch bets too.
Well, I tell you what, talk about a fall. I mean, a fall from sort of 4 to 5 to 7 might be a bit of a fall, but to 42, now that is a drop down the ladder. The Tigers, 2 in a row. Jimmy, are we on the now train?
No, I'll tell you what, we're not on the train. And I was on the radio show yesterday talking about how exciting it was because, you know, they deserve to win that game against Parramatta. If Gutho kicks that goal, that's an injustice in my opinion. This Lachlan Galvin story is such a good one. Everything that he says is amazing coming out of the mouth and the mind of a 19-year-old. But they're not going to make the 8. So let's just cool our jets a little bit on that one. But, you know, let's ride the wave while it's there. And now Benji Marshall has a winning record as an NRL coach, Jared.
Well, Jimmy, I think the other thing too is I thought he handled his press conference, each of the three, to be honest. But I thought the last one on Monday afternoon was outstanding. I mean, some of the Dumbo questions that kept getting thrown to him to try and stir up some rubbish or create a headline, he just handled it so well. He spoke, I thought, so positively about the fact that it's about the team. And we're about now. We're not about last year. We're not about the Wayne Bennett relationship. We're about what we're going to do each week as a team.
Yeah, and the application, I think, and this is the thing that was resonating with the Tigers supporters, and that was, you know, they didn't flash their way out to that victory. Like, they had, especially in that first half, long periods of time where they were under pressure. And yes, Parramatta had no Mitchell Moses, so the attack was very different and probably not as fluid as it could have been or should have been. But they still defended it, the Tigers. You know, Tigers winning games 17 points to 16, they're low-scoring games like that. Like, that's a great indictment for the defence. And people talk about, you know, Benji's not coaching the way he played. Well, as the great Jack Gibson used to say, you coach what you couldn't do. Now, not saying Benji couldn't defend, but it wasn't his strength. But this is a good defensive unit. And we know defence, you start working for each other and you keep working for each other, then you can achieve extraordinary things. We better get to that breaking news, Tristan, because I tell you what, we were glued to our sets on, was it Saturday night? Saturday night we were watching it. The two runners were there, and then all of a sudden there was only one runner. Can you explain, please?
Yeah, Saturday night we were full of excitement and confidence going into Cbus Super Stadium there at about 5:30 p.m. And Joe from the Titans, he presented the girls with their new Titans jersey for the run out, and all very excited. They were excited to bring the team a little bit of luck, and the Robin was going up and high-fiving Kieran Foran in the lounge, the photo of him in the lounge, because that's who she knew she was running out with. And then we wait for our time to come. I send a little picture of the girls in front of the sponsors board and send it off to you guys that they were ready to go up the tunnel. And we make our way out onto the magical turf of Cbus. And lo and behold, Kempro's mascot is a big, giant sloth. And Charlotte did not take too kindly to this big giant sloth following around trying to high-five her. And she crawled up my leg and my arms and was like a koala for the next 15 or 20 minutes. And I was doing everything in my power to negotiate and telling her that the whole of the Gold Coast needs her here to get down to that tunnel and run the boys out. And she just wasn't having a bar of it. I found very, very quickly that she's as pig-headed as a mother. and and there was no way in the world she was going to run out onto the pitch. And unfortunately, yeah, we didn't have a non-loader. She wouldn't even load into the barriers to go up the tunnel. And first thing Robin said on Easter Sunday, knowing that her record had been tarnished, was that, you know, the Titans would have won, Daddy, if Charlotte had have done what she was supposed to do and run the team out. So I think Des might have had a few of those thoughts going through his mind with a few ifs and buts on Saturday night as well. But yes, it was a very up and down Saturday night.
Could you just explain what's magical about the turf up there at Cbus Super Stadium? Because I'm just wondering, it's not quite as magical as it could have been or should have been for the Gold Coast Titans, Tristan.
No. Well, it does deliver a lot of people visiting interstate some very enjoyable nights because they seem to get a lot of wins here at the moment. So it's a good tourist attraction, I think, at the moment.
Yeah, staying in line with...
Interesting, Jimmy, if we go back to after round one, we were very disappointed in the Tigers and wondered where that form turnaround and some wins might come. Well, they ended up putting the cleaners right through the Sharks, then come up with another late win. Now I guess it's the Titans that we're a little bit concerned about, and where does their win come from? And now they're on the road into Townsville this week with an 18-point line.
Yeah, just wondering whether you get a chance to go in there and renegotiate or anything, Tristan. Beyond that, can you tell us the market for the premiership? Like, what Penrith did on Thursday night, minus Nathan Cleary and James Fisher-Harrison, Scotty Sorensen, was just extraordinary against a fellow heavyweight, and I use that term in inverted commas, fellow heavyweight, the Sydney Roosters, and just having a look at the premiership market now.
Yeah, well, you're right. And you know, fellow heavyweight in inverted commas is still reasonably accurate because the Roosters are a $7 third pick to win the comp. But the Panthers, they just flex their muscles. They're $3.30. And to be able to do that and to be able to find ways to cover the loss of star players, not just with Cleary out, let's not forget they've lost some key players in the off-season as well. And they've come back and they obviously battled over in England. But since they've been back in Australia, they just seem to continue to go from strength to strength. And they're $3.30 now to win the comp. The Broncos are $4.60. The Roosters, $7. The Storm, $8. Then it's a bit of a gap to the Warriors at 15, Manly at 16, and the Cowboys there at $19 with the Titans at the bottom of the table at 200-1.
Can I get your thoughts on that, Jared? Based on, and I know it's a small sample space, and but we do have history, and we know how these teams perform at different stages. Based on what you've seen, you know, one of the things I think has been a feature of the first four rounds has been the ability to discount sides as potential premiership hopes rather than say, oh, this side's playing well. Would you have comment on that?
Well, Jimmy, right now I would only have three teams that I would consider in contention. And yes, it is a small sample, but yeah, clearly the Panthers, again, at the top of the table of that, and that's certainly the case with my ratings. And then I have the Storm second at full strength, and we'll see them this week at full strength at home. I then have the Roosters, and I then have a bit of a gap, you know, and I'm just not sure who's coming from behind that. I mean, the Broncos would need everybody on the park at their best with everybody on the field. Certainly they're in that top four. Gee, it falls away very quickly thereafter, though. I mean, you know, we all talked about how disappointing the Rabbitohs have been. Gee, I couldn't have the Cowboys anywhere near the top of that market. Or, you know, realistically, any other sides. I mean, Cronulla, you know, no.
Just the one side that I reckon. So let's discount Manly as well because, you know, some of those performances that we're looking at, it would have to be DCE and Tom Trbojevic at their best for an extended period for them to win the competition.
Well, I just can't rate their defence, Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know, if we look at them now four games in, they've had some sparkly moments in attack, but some of their moments in defence have been incredibly poor. I think right now they're a little bit caught up in playing sideways instead of going forward and then trying to attack. Some of their handling last week, I mean, you just should not have been going down to Wynn Stadium, regardless of their long-term record there, off the strength of some of their moments of form over the prior 3 weeks and losing.
So the other one I wanted to mention, and you love him as a coach, and they get Chance Nickel-Klukstar back this week. And as a result of that, the bloke who ran 283 metres at fullback last week goes into the centres. The downside is Luke Metcalf is out with a broken leg, but they've got great cover there with Tamate Martin. But the Warriors at $15 feel like they might provide an option as well.
Well, I certainly have them equal to, if not slightly above, the Broncos now, Jimmy. And
wow.
I love that depth. I think they're building on some form at the present moment. Jimmy, another key stat about when Nicol Klotstad is back in that team, their win record goes to about 73%. You know, yeah. He seems to have a very positive impact. And then you put, you know, Roger to that left edge. I mean, Roger was just outstanding last week. But I love their depth at the present moment. You know, Metcalf is a clear out, but they've got Martin. You know, they've got
Harris
off the bench. He yeah. came on last week and did an excellent job slotting on the left-hand side. You know, they've got some depth in the centres, which they haven't had previously. Two very good wingers. And, you know, some nice muscle through the middle. They're playing very well.
Yeah, they've got to win in Australia. That's the downside for that one. But, yeah, I think the Warriors are a really interesting watch, especially at that price of $15. Hey, boys, what are we made of? And every player seems to have their say on it. Graham Annesley's come out and thrown a couple of people under the bus, but the obstruction rule, the run-through, the bunker, the on-field officiating, what have we made of what's been a big talking point for the league during the course of the week, which is not necessarily a bad thing, right? Because these things are, unfortunately, they're very grey. We'd love them to be black and white, but generally speaking, Tristan, they're very grey.
Yeah, no, they're very grey, as you say, and it creates a lot of discussion and a lot of debate, and it's a tricky one to get right all of the time, and you're never going to do that. But I suppose it's just trying to get that consistency and trying to find a solution that that at least, you know, you walk away from the game saying, well, you know, you just don't want to cop a howler, which is the one that I think is where everyone sort of you know can get pretty upset about. So it's a tricky one to work out the optimal solution, and I'm sure Jared's got a few examples that he'd like to sort of point to, but yeah, it's I don't know what the answer is there, because, you know, week in, week out, you are going to have different interpretations, which does make it tricky.
Jimmy, if we go back to that game last week, the Roosters and the Panthers, the Panthers completely dominated that game and deserved to win by a margin.
Yep.
But if we take those two key decisions in the game, it could well have been 18-12 with the best part of about 15 to 18 minutes to play. You know, we have a much closer game and potentially a very interesting finish to it. And then now the new buzzword from Graham Annesley is discretion. Well, we've been talking for 3 or 4 years on the back of all the changes that Tony Archer made, probably going back 8 or 10 years ago, because Tony Archer wanted black and white. He didn't want the referees to have to be in a position and or the bunker to try and make decisions about discretion. And, you know, was the obstruction going to interfere with a potential try or not? He wanted it to be black and white, and that's the path we went down. Yet now the justification out of making some poor decisions last weekend was that the bunker didn't have enough discretion in their view of what unfolded. I'm sorry, you can't have your cake and eat it. We're either got black and white, and we go back to the week prior at Parramatta Stadium and the Kohler disallowed try, where, you know, the defender was absolutely zero chance of having any interference with the player that was in the line, or we then go to what unfolded in that Panthers-Roosters game. I mean, seriously. And then we also saw last weekend, we've seen it in the past, but it's being exaggerated again, of players falling over in the line.
Yeah. What do you prefer, black or white, or discretion?
Well, personally, I grew up with discretion, and I would far prefer that.
The 6,000 to 7,000 decisions that a referee has to make during the course of the game, and a lot of them are discretionary, right? How long has that player been on that tackled player? 3, 4, should be off, you know, like all that. So 6,000 or 7,000. But in those situations, I think what also is really important is that the average or fair-minded person can look at something and say, that's a try or a no try. And then there's going to be those grey ones where people disagree, and that'll be based on what colour eyes they're viewing it through quite often. But I tend to agree with you. So here's the next step for that for me. And that is, if you're going to make discretionary decisions that therefore can be inconsistent between individuals, why don't you have the one individual in the bunker for an entire round? I don't think that's ridiculous.
Jimmy, isn't that where the bunker started? When the bunker first started, we were told we're about getting this right and we're going to have a team of specialists And they were nominated, they were highlighted in the media, and we had a team of specialists. Yes, they were going to make mistakes, no different than the people on the field. Over the last 18 months, it's literally on rotation. Anybody and everybody gets a turn in the bunker now, and it's just, that's why we've got so much indecision and, in my opinion, so many poor decisions.
So someone in their mind would be the best bunker official, senior review official. Give them two other offsiders that can give input, and you've got three, and then you can get unanimous decisions, right? So one person, that's your job, that's your role. Graham Annesley is the head of a football, then you are senior review official, and you sit in the bunker all weekend. Like, that's not too onerous, I don't think. But anyway, and then I just think you're going to get more consistent decision-making.
And, Jimmy, lastly, last weekend, we had Graham Annesley call the media at halftime in a game to then state that a player, that a decision that occurred in the game was right or wrong. Seriously, what sort of precedent are we now setting that that might be the case? I mean, are we going to have Graham now doing media pre-game, half-time and post-game to talk about the decisions in the game? I mean, that was just a really silly, ugly precedent, I thought.
All right, I'll ask you this one, Tristan. A trader gets a price wrong and it costs you money. Now, do you publicly come out and say, no, we're very confident our systems are working? And we're going to get it right more times than wrong. Or do you come out public and say, yeah, had a shocker and better not do it again? Because the latter is what Graham Annesley and the NRL are doing, and that's to be applauded. Right? The former, though, is a little more protective of employees. What do you prefer?
Yeah, and I suppose it depends on situational sort of stuff. Like if someone makes an error or an error of judgment, I'm never ever critical, and that's something I always pass on to our team. You know, if you're doing everything, you know, like we get a lot of 50-50 calls when a trader's making a decision. And if you try your best and get it wrong, then I'm never going to publicly spray someone on the back of that. I suppose the only time I'd ever really go to town on someone in that scenario would be if I felt it was a lazy decision or someone repeatedly doing the same thing time and time and time again. So whether that's from Graham Annesley's point of view, whether he feels that it's got to that point where he needs to start making examples, I don't know. But that's the only thing that I would say. And I think most business people would feel the same way, that you're going to do your best to protect everyone, you know, to a certain extent. And then, you know, whether something, you know, you need to spark, almost like the Desi Hasler side of things with the spray after week three or week four in the sheds as well. So, I can see both sides of it. But certainly in my opinion, would be you're doing everything you can to protect your people until it becomes a point.
Jimmy, can I just finish on this point? I've been doing what I do for the last 15 years. Up until 5 years ago, I did not write down who the game official was or who the bunk officials were when I previewed my numbers into a game. For the last 5 years, I now do.
Mm. Chris Butler not video refereeing this week, just to let you know on that one. Just when you talk about Desi Hasler, has he given a spray? Has he round three or round four? Are you giving any insight there, Tristan? Did Robin get back to you on that?
Poor old Charlotte had a lot of missed calls on her phone on Sunday morning, so I can only imagine what that was all about.
I'll never forget Desi Hasler standing there talking about Anthony Watt. Now, I don't know how many times Des would have been, positive about Anthony when perhaps that wasn't the case behind the scenes, but he just stood there saying misdemeanor after misdemeanor. And I thought, this is sort of straw that broke the camel's back type situation, is it? Remember when Todd Payton was critical of Jason Taumalolo and everyone went, oh, you shouldn't do it publicly. And you think he's probably done it six times privately. And he's just had enough of it. But anyway.
Well, Jimmy, I think Fox were reporting last weekend that after the Titans game on Saturday night, somebody in the Titans dressing room covered the cameras, and lo and behold, someone gave those in the room a almighty spray. So there you go.
That is the oldest one in the book. Dez. Wow. Accidentally put his jacket up there, did he? Oh, well. These things happen. Mostly at losing rugby league clubs, but anyway. Yes. Righto, boys, we better get into it. Hey, round five starts with a beauty. Storm up against the Broncos. So this one down at Amy Park, and this will be kickoff tomorrow. So what about those inclusions? Cameron Munster in, Jerome Hughes in, Christian Welsh back on deck, Tyron Wishart to the bench, Jonah Pezzett drops out, Chris Lewis, 18th man. So It's a much stronger side. Where's Nelson Asifa Solomona? Do we know? But anyway.
Weight Watchers, I think, Jimmy.
Okay, that's not very nice, Jared. One change to the Broncos side. Ben Takura, named to make his NRL debut off the bench. He was 18th man last week. Xavier Willison has picked up a head knock at training. What's your market going for this one, which is always a good clash, Tristan?
Always a good clash, and this has seen the biggest move of the weekend by some considerable margin, where the Storm now are $1.43, the Broncos $2.85, and the line shifted out to 7.5. It opened at 2.5, and it's been one-way traffic in the last few days, obviously on the back of those inclusions and the Storm coming off the bye, and Brisbane's obviously in different form, despite the fact they had a good win there against the Cowboys. But it's $1.43, the Storm, $2.85, the Bronx, 7.5, 39.5, so expecting it to be a reasonably low-scoring match.
Well, for many, many, many years, we've been waxing lyrical about that hold that the Storm had over the Broncos, but the Broncos, 26-0 in the first week of the finals last year, went on to make the grand final. But as you touch on, Jimmy, some really key ins for the Storm and some very key missing players for the Broncos. They go to Melbourne without Haas, Welsh, Piacora and now Wilson. That's four very key players, in particular in the middle, two of them big men that they need. With Hughes and Munster back, with the Storm playing in Melbourne, I think the Storm get the right week. They were poor 2 weeks ago. They've had a bye. They get strengthened up, the right playing list in Melbourne. Traditionally, this would see a Thursday or a Friday or a Saturday night. The unders would be favoured as well. I'm with the move. I certainly thought that the Storm should be favoured. I'm still wider than where the market is. That's how significant I think those ins are and the outs are for the Broncos. Certainly keen about the Storm.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Lots of plaudits around for Tristan Saylor and the way that he's played. Probably recognised now he's an NRL player. It's taken him time to get there, but that is the case. But despite all that, you're not Reece Walsh, right? And so that's a significant difference. That absence of Haas just compounds the absence of Flegler, doesn't it? I mean, that's where they got their issues. Their bench is not quite balanced too with Corey Oates there, although Corey gets the biggest cheer when he comes onto the field. I would expect Melbourne freshened up. I know that Munster has been wanting to play for a couple of weeks, thinks he's been right, just hasn't been able to get it across the line. The bye came at the right time, had a bit of time away from what I understand, and now you would think is back to repay the Melbourne Storm after slipping in the shower in Fiji. Seriously, there's a lot of slipping in showers when it comes to these high-class NRL players. I like the Storm minus 7.5. Probably an unders game too, but we all know my stance on that. So there we go. All right, let's go to first game on a Friday night, the Bulldogs and the Roosters. This is out at a Coors Stadium. The Bulldogs celebrating the 2004 Premiership winning side. Josh Adokar is out, Blake Wilson in. He was probably a bit unlucky to miss out last week, Blake Wilson. Jacob Preston out, Kurt Morin out. So broken jaw and suspension respectively. Josh Curran's been excellent for them. He's into the starting side. Harrison Edwards onto the bench. And Kitione Katonga will make his NRL debut. So we wish him all the best with that. Lindsay Collins back after missing with that hamstring injury. Terrell May was excellent against the Panthers. He goes back to the bench. Egan Butcher, what about you're dropping a guy like Egan Butcher out of the 17? It's just incredible. I like what Angus Crichton did last week. So he's into the starting side. Satili Tupanua to the bench. What's your market saying on this one, Tristan?
Yeah, this market has moved a little bit towards the Roosters. $1.28, the Chooks, $3.70, the Bulldogs, 10.5 is the line, $1.85 the minus, $1.95 the plus, and 38.5, a strong push towards the unders, obviously, with a lot of weather expected in Sydney over the weekend. So, yeah, the Doggies against on Easter Friday or Good Friday, they look like they were in a bit of trouble early, then fought their way back into the game, and you thought at 12-10, are they going to be able to cause the upset here, but couldn't quite get it done. And then, obviously, the Panthers getting the result against the Roosters with so many players missing was very much a surprise. So keen to see how both of these sides go into this weekend. Obviously, it is a bit of a rivalry game between the two, and I probably think that 10.5 is around the right number.
And I'll preface these next four games that we're going to talk about, Jimmy, about the Armageddon of water. and rain that is coming into Sydney and surrounds into this weekend. The forecast for Thursday night is, or late Thursday, is somewhere between 28 to 30 mils, and then on Friday up to 95 mils in and around Homebush. If that's the case, then we're going to end up with a very wet track come 5 p.m. Friday evening for this game. I thought the difference here were the key ins and outs. I thought Collins back was a big in for the Roosters. They desperately missed him last week against what was required in the middle and the hard work that came from the Panthers. It's still really clunky in the halves and what they're trying to do with attack. And I just wonder whether Keary maybe has stayed 1 year too long. I would have liked to have seen young Sandon Smith in the halves. Maybe that's in weeks to come when he returns. For the Bulldogs, I thought those two outs in the forwards, Jimmy Preston and Moore, and I thought they'd been two of their better forwards over the last couple of weeks when their effort's been there. I thought the gap looked about right, but, gee, I think the rain is going to keep this game close. At Accor, which can get very slippery at, in a late afternoon or evening when it's wet. With the Roosters to win, I'd be taking the plus because of the dampness of the conditions, and I think it's going to be a low-scoring game.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. Plus 10.5 for me for the Bulldogs. Like we say, going back to that game, we called that one on SEN on Easter Friday, and the effort is all there for the Dogs. And just I thought this might have been the week that Serraldo pulled the trigger on a couple of changes. You know, I look at some of those key players that just weren't getting the ball when required. There's a slowness around Drew Hutchison, which is not his fault. He's just slow, right? But it just makes everything else clunky. And I thought that Stephen Crichton needed to get the ball into his hands more. And I thought that might have been the move him to fullback and work out there. I wouldn't even be upset if Blake Taff went to number seven, you know, and he's played a lot of seven when he's a youngster, but they just didn't, they haven't done it. I don't know whether it takes a firm beating at the hands of the Roosters. The Roosters is a really interesting one for me. As you say, like, you know, the couple of calls went against them, but they were a mile away from Penrith. They handled them so well. I was fortunate to be sitting watching the game with Michael Maguire, so the New South Wales coach, and he was just talking, you know, just talking about things. And most notably, the defensive work of Dylan Edwards. So every time they go for that shift, the Roosters were all going sideways and Dylan Edwards just puts himself in the line and everyone just came out. The whole night, they did not create an extra player. The whole night. And yet Penrith, when they were doing it, were able to create extra players all the time. They start a little wider. They're a bit squarer with their running and made a hell of a difference. So I think Luke Keary, like three-time premiership player, world's nicest bloke, outstanding human. He's under pressure physically in this side. He really is. I don't want to write off a guy who's been an outstanding player and to play at that level that he has. If you look at him physically, he's tiny.
Yeah, that's right.
To be able to do it for so long, you know, well played to you. But, gee, I think it's getting closer. Is Viliami Kikau going to be running at him? Holy. That sounds like a bit of a problem. I think he's on the other side, so he might get the miss there. I love the plus 10.5, the Doggies. By the way, Jared, we didn't go back to last week. Plus 6.5, the Doggies. Didn't mention that, did we?
Was there a need to mention that, Jimmy?
Just the listeners might have been interested in it. But anyway, there we go. All right, let's go to the one on Friday night. This is the Knights up against the Dragons, McDonald Jones Stadium. This is an interesting watch. This one on the back of Zach Lomax being told he can have a look around. Jackson Hastings is back. I thought this was the way they should have done it first up. Tyson Gamble out. Jack Cogger in the halves with him. Dane Gagai is back. Leo Thompson is back. Jaden Brayley into the starting side. So that feels like a stronger Newcastle Knights side. The Dragons have got the same 17. Michael Molo replaces Hame Sele on the bench. Tom Eisenhuth is named at lock but could go back to the bench. So, in the week that they say, yep, Zach Lomax, you can have a look around. What's the market doing with the Knights and the Dragons?
This one's remained pretty solid. It's $1.44 the Knights, $2.80 the Dragons, 6.5 is the line, and then $1.80 the minus, $2 the plus, and then a strong push towards the unders again with that weather around. So the Knights have battled against the Dragons historically, but the Dragons' away record, away from that magical turf at Seabus, has been pretty non-existent as well. So it's an interesting one because the Dragons were pretty good there against Manly and obviously won with a really hard-nosed style of football. So if they can bring that to Newcastle, you never know. But, we'll see how we go. 6.5 is a line, money towards the Knights.
Yeah, I thought the rain was the key issue here. I mean, about 110 mils going into kickoff time. And, you know, it's a good draining ground, but that's going to be damn wet. And I just think this brings, again, these two sides so much closer. I mean, as Tristan touched on, the Dragons' record in Newcastle is all but outstanding. They've won 14 of their last 17 going up to the Hunter and 5 of the last 7. And I just thought in wet conditions with the start against a side that off 4 games are still only struggling to get the 14 points in attack a week, I just thought that brought it so much closer. The Dragons should take a little bit of a lift out of last week. It was important that they got those 4 ins and they certainly made a difference, in particular in the middle. It's toughened them up a little bit. I thought Little in the middle also was an improvement. The Knights back at home, they're under certainly some pressure and now it's a matter of just constant rotations at 7 and 6 to try and get it right. But I still don't know that Ponga's been anywhere near his best at all for mine. Thompson back is a plus, but this looks like a slugathon. I want to be with the start. I think maybe the Knights creep across the line, but I certainly think 6.5 takes you a long way into the game.
Jared, you coach of the Knights. Who's your halves?
Hastings and... And Gamble.
Yep. So where's Cogger play?
I think his form in the last 3 or 4 weeks has been horrible.
Okay. So
Maybe last year was more about the system than it was about his abilities.
Where does Brad Schneider play in any team outside of Penrith?
Yeah,
well, you know,
that's right.
How good's Nathan Cleary?
Well, and touching on that, Jimmy, how well did Snyder play last week? You know, incredible. I had my doubts going into the game, and he was absolutely outstanding. His kicking game was on point. You know, I think he touched the football or ran the ball something like 24 times. First class.
If only Ivan Cleary could achieve something that would help us think of him as one of the elite coaches in the competition. Oh, hang on. That's right. He's won 3 straight competitions. So
some of us do, Jimmy, including all 3 of us.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. I like the plus 6.5 again. I think I personally would have Hastings and Cogger, but we are being patient now with the Newcastle Knights, aren't we? We're all thinking about the last 12 weeks of last year rather than what we've been seeing for the first 4 weeks of this year. So at home on a Friday night, like that's as big as it gets for Newcastle. So maybe they can produce something for there. I'm not holding my breath. What I do know from the Dragons is they'll scrap for everything. It's just got Flanagan's fingerprints all over it. And, you know, yes, Zach Lomax is upset and he wants to go. And then Flano says, right, I'll do your best. See you later. Get out of here. Like, I don't mind that. You know?
Yep.
You're freeing up 800K in your salary cap as well, so you can do something with that. So I don't mind Flano's response on that. And to see the way they played against the Seagulls, it wasn't pretty. They didn't play that well. But my word, they competed on everything. So the plus 6.5 is out to $2 too, Tristan. So that's big numbers, big numbers. All right, let's go to the first game on a Saturday. This is another interesting game. Out at a Coors Stadium, Rabbitohs and the Warriors, would you believe? So Alex Johnston out, Isaac Tuitupo-Thompson gets a call-up. Shaq Mitchell out. He failed the HIA last week. Sean Kepi returns to the bench. Dean Hawkins there. Lachlan Ilias still in the New South Wales Cup. We talked about it earlier. Chance Nichol-Klukstar back for his first game. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck in his 200th game goes to the centres. What about this or a replacement for Luke? Unfortunate for Luke Metcalf too. Didn't he look good this year? He looked good last year too. Tamate Martin comes in. Chanel Harris-DeVita onto the bench. Murata Niokoro is into the second row in the place of Kurt Capewell and Tom Ale and Freddie Lussick added to the bench. This is a beauty for a side that I reckon, Tristan, is still under a bit of pressure in the Rabbitohs.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when the Bulldogs hit the front, it looked like they were in a lot of trouble, the Bunnies, but they came back and got the result. They are underdogs in this game, and there's been a strong push for the Warriors, which I think all of us would have been surprised at this market at the start of the season with the Bunnies being at home. It's 208 the Rabbits, $1.75 the Warriors, 1.5. It's gone from Pickin to -1.5, and we're $1.84 about the minus, and 40.5 the total points. So certainly one-way traffic for the Warriors so far.
Well, if the weather forecast is right, and let's preface that by saying many times they're not, 160 mil of rain by the time this game starts. I mean, and there's going to be a game the night before when the Bulldogs and Roosters go around. This is going to be a very wet, cut-up field. I think that really favours the Warriors. I don't like what Souths are doing at the moment. I thought they really struggled to win last week, and I thought the Bulldogs were coming to get them in that last 15 minutes, and but for, you know, some really clunky attack where they just didn't open or finish what they were trying to do the right way, they got beat. And the, you know, Souths end up with a 4-point win. The Warriors are a different kettle of fish, and they'll roll their sleeves up here. And the masters of trying to play a kicking game, a field position. They've got big men through the middle. I think the game is nice and opens up for them in typical conditions, certainly with the Warriors.
So the back three, they had outstanding numbers coming out of that game last week for the Warriors. You can now make it a back four, right? Because Rogers is still going to do that when he goes to centre. He's not going to wait out there. And imagine how fresh he'd be if he just stayed out there in the centre. So he's going to get involved in that. The thing I love about Chance Nickel-Cookstar, you mentioned how good that winning percentage is when he plays, Jared, is that when he was at the Canberra Raiders, and this comes down to the coaching of Andrew Webster, you thought, if only he had a pass game, he'd be really good, that player. Well, now he's got a pass game. And he certainly showed that for the Warriors last year. He showed it for New Zealand in that try series at the end of the year. So, they're a stronger side. I tend to agree with you. The Rabbitohs, don't know whether Dean Hawkins is the answer. I'm not sure that Lachlan Ilias is the answer either. Cody Walker still has not put an imprint on a game yet. And so Luttrell's been Luttrell. You know, some really good stuff. Gets booed a lot for other stuff that other players seem to get away with, but hasn't put his mark on a game as yet either. So I'm with you. I love the Warriors. I'll take the minus one.
What happens then too, Jimmy, if Ilias then requests a release in the coming weeks? Well, my understanding is his manager met with a club a couple of days ago. So, I mean, if all of a sudden that hits the newspapers and that starts to bubble up, I mean, and they're losing, it's not a happy picture.
Well, if you're the manager of Lachlan Ilias, and that's Braithen Astor, you'd be derelict in your duty by not speaking to clubs. The other thing about it is history tells us that has Jason Demetrio been straight with Lachlan Ilias? We have two examples, one on the record and one off the record, about just how misleading some of those that feedback is for some of the players, especially the fringe player. So can you imagine the conversation with Lachlan Ilias about, mate, you'll be right. Just play well in lower grades. And he has played well in lower grades. So certainly did the first week that he was demoted. So you're right, Jared. That's an interesting watch, that one. All right, let's go on Saturday night. This is a 5:30 game at Four Pines Park. Seagulls up against the Panthers. So we've already been talking very glowingly about the Panthers. But Daly Cherry Evans breaks the all-time record for Manly. Goes past Cliff Lyons' 310th game. That's extraordinary. Matt Lodge back training too, not included in the 17. James Fisher-Harris is, so he and Moses Leota there. Maverick Guy out of the 17. And our man, Brad Schneider, he's going to go around again in that famous Penrith number 7 jersey. Tristan?
Yeah, and Penrith are slight favourites in this game. It's going to be a really, really good battle. As you say, it's going to be a big event there for all the Seagulls fans to celebrate DCE. And they're $2.30 underdogs at home. Penrith $1.62 and 3.5 is this line. $1.90 pick 'em, 39.5 for total points. So it's a really tricky one to price up because, obviously there was a massive move towards the Roosters last week on the back of Penrith missing out on Cleary, and they got the result, and now we're sort of just trying to find where that right position should be, and then obviously we're going to have all of the other stuff going on with Manly as well. So it's been a really tricky one to find out where that number should sit, but surprisingly it hasn't moved from where we originally pushed it. So 3.5 at the moment, pretty solid.
How difficult has it been to try and get a handle on the Panthers and a number and a rating over the last couple of weeks? I mean, as Tristan says, 11.5-point move last week, and then they went outright. They didn't even need the move in their favour. And then they now end up going to Brookvale, with the only change being Fisher-Harris in, who was certainly significant, but they've gone to a 4-point favourite. on an away game, still in Sydney, in the Brookvale, which is, you know, certainly no easy hunting ground. I thought the move was a little bit too big, but I don't want to touch the Eagles here either. I think both of these have shown over recent years that they're not necessarily the best wet track players. Certainly the Eagles have always struggled in the wet. Back at home, but off a really poor offering the week last week and then the week prior, you know, leading 14-0 and just wanting to play a lot of sideways and then not defend through the middle. If this is wet, as it will be at Brookvale, and Penrith just want to knuckle down and go through the front door, I think the game, again, is very tight. I could only be with the Panthers, but I don't want to touch the game.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, if you think about what the headline says the next day or what you're talking about on the radio, it's like, well, of course Manly should have won. Daly's significant milestone match back at home after a poor away performance. So, yes, that all makes sense. But then the other part of you goes, of course Penrith go and win that game comfortably because look at what they did last week against the Roosters on their turf and they had Fisher-Harris back and the machine rolls on. So I reckon it's really hard to get a read on this one. The part of me that was there watching them live just to see how comfortable they were in defence against anything that the Roosters had to offer. Now, maybe Manly have more to offer in attack than what the Roosters showed last week. We'll have to wait and see, but it certainly wasn't on show down at Wollongong. This machine that is Penrith, like they are, you know, missing a part, doesn't matter. Someone comes in and does the job. Schneider last week was excellent. I anticipated doing again. Jerome Luai got himself much more involved. And, you know, the value that they're getting out of, even at 750 grand, Isaac Tungor and Taylan May and Sunia Taruva, who I'm sure is getting paid absolutely nothing, but that won't be the case for much longer.
Well, what about Smith in the middle, Jimmy? I mean, he's gone to a new level over the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, he's really improved his game and he's doing some tough work. And just on the Eagles, I watched them very closely last week, in particular Tommy. I'm not sure that Turbo's not carrying a leg injury. He just did not look right to me last week.
So I'll go the other way. I watched that game very closely too, and you're all fully aware of my obsession with Tom Trbojevic. And have a look at the data coming out. So I had a look at it the other day. He did 14 carries for 146 metres, right? And Roger Tuivasa-Sheck did 27 carries for 283 metres, right? You can't tell me Tom couldn't do 28 carries. Roger was doing twice as many carries. Tom travels as much ground as Roger. He goes from one side to the other. And sometimes you can't pick it up on the telly because he'll go out of shot and then next thing he'll turn up at the other. So he'll go from the right side having a shot, doesn't get the ball. He'll go all the way across for the next play on the left-hand side, doesn't get the ball. So then he'll come back to the centre to get the ball on a kick and doesn't get the ball. And I'm like, you are spending too much energy not getting the ball.
I agree with you totally, Jimmy, and I could see that. But when he takes the football, he's only playing off 2 or 3 metres at the moment. He's not attacking the line as we know he can. He just looked very proppy to me and not at his best. And, you know, that was compounded by the fact that, you know, Manly just played so sideways last week. They did not go forward and earn the right before they wanted to go sideways.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'll go the Panthers -3.5 there. Have we found anything that resembles a lunch bet here?
No.
We're all singing off the same hymn sheet at the moment.
Yeah. All right. Well, that might change with the Dolphins. They're in first position, gentlemen, up against the West Tigers. This is Saturday night. This is at Suncorp too, Sue. So popular side now on a roll, the Tigers, winning more than they're losing. So Max Plath out, Ray Stone in, Kenny Bromwich onto the bench, Sean O'Sullivan and Jared Wallace listed amongst the reserves. And for the West Tigers, Lockie Galvin out for that hip drop tackle. Jaden Sullivan gets the start at 5'8". Latu Fainu, NRL debut for him from the bench. I wouldn't be surprised to see him start. Sullivan back to the bench. We'll have to wait and see what sort of games Benji likes playing with that. And Alex Twal back into the 17 as well. What does the market say on this one, Tristan?
This one seemed to be a bit of a push towards the Dolphins as well. We opened the line at 2.5 and it's now firmed from 2.5 to 4.5 with the Dolphins. $1.55 favourites, the Tigers $2.45. And at that 4.5, it's $1.85 the minus, 195 and the plus, and a little bit higher total points in the rest of the round, 42.5 so far. So, yeah, certainly despite that win for the Tigers on Monday, the money's been all for the Dolphins to cover the spread.
I thought it was really interesting scheduling here too, Jimmy, that this game's at Suncorp. I would have thought with the West Tigers travelling from interstate and maybe not known for a big supporter base in Brisbane that this might have been at Redcliffe. But I think Suncorp helps the Dolphins. Got away with that win last week. Thought they got stronger in the second half. Bennett seemed to be up and about post-game. Tigers winning three in a row. Gee, that'd be... what? 20, 25 years? Not for me. I'm with the Dolphins. Dolphins at Suncorp.
Yeah, I'm going to go the Tigers plus 4.5. Now, the thing about it is 6-day turnaround or 5-day turnaround and travel. So that's my concern. I was very excited about the way Lachie Galvin played and he's obviously going to be an out. I wouldn't be surprised, as I said, that Fainu starts the game rather than burn up all that energy sitting on the bench, and Benji would be totally aware of that one. But I just like the you know bit of steel that the Tigers played with in that game against Parramatta. Remember, Parramatta, I know they had no Mitchell Moses, but they've still got a great deal of strength through the middle. And maybe Bryce Cartwright was missed more than we appreciate with that second phase play, but they did a great job defensively on them. Aiden Caesar controlling the game, and that's all he has to do with Latu Fainu there. And that certainly was all he had to do with Galvin. And this Jerome Buller, like, what a player. He is amazing. He's still slight. He's still got a lot of work to do physically, but he's having a huge impact on games. And I'm going to put the mock on him here, but I rarely see him make a mistake. Very few mistakes. So he'll probably drop three high balls come Saturday night. But, yeah, I'll go with the Tigers plus 4.5.
Well, you can count me in for a lunch bet there. Thank you very much.
Jeez, where's that?
Tristan, are you floating in one way or another?
Yeah, I thought this game should be a little bit closer to pick him than what it is. So I'm going to make Jimmy's day and side with him.
Oh, that even makes my afternoon. Jimmy, how many wins are you going to give the Tigers this year?
Yeah, it's so a good question.
You suggested earlier they don't make the eight, which I agree with you. But so how many wins do we think? They've ended up with two surprises.
Well, just to give a bit of context whilst you're thinking, Jimmy, because I know you don't like being put on the spot at times, but 8.5 was the line at the start of the season, and it was $1.65 the unders, $2.15 the overs. So obviously, you know, they've probably won one more game than maybe we might have thought at this point in the season. So, yeah, that was where it was sitting at the start. So I don't know where that shifts your mentality from here.
Righto. What would the price be if it was right now at 9.5?
I reckon it'd be pretty close to pick him at 9.5. I think that's probably, I think they've probably overachieved by a game, and it's, and the, yeah, so I'd probably have it at pick him at 9.5.
Okay, so I'll go the overs on 9.5, because in my mind, I said 8-10. 8-10. So, yeah, I'll go the overs. What about you, Jared?
I think that's a fair call. I'd be on the unders. I'd be on the under 9, and I'd probably still be on the under 8. But, you know, we never would have had them, you know, 2 from 3 to start the season. So, you know, certainly overachieving. And, you know, I think there's a little bit of a risk here, you know, picking up 3, the third game's in the state. You know, is there a little bit of a letdown off the back of, you know, 2 big wins and, you know, that I'm sure some nice celebrations last Monday, and then losing Galvin. I think Galvin's a big out. And whoever plays at 6, I think Bennett's going to send a lot of traffic at. But good watch. You know, we should get a decent dry track and some good football between the two of them.
I like the, you know, Jimmy's mentality on overs and unders doesn't just gravitate around total points in the game, because I like the thought process. I had them winning 8-10 games and the line's at 9.5. So 2 out of those 3 numbers slot under the 9.5 and he's still lobbed on the overs. So, yes.
There you go. It's like a reflex error, isn't it? There we go. But anyway.
Well, and Tristan, we've just come through 4 games in Sydney.
That, Jared? That's half full. That's what that is.
We've just come through previewing 4 games in Sydney where it's Armageddon of weather, and there's 4, you would have thought, very obvious unders, and Jimmy's just let them slip through. Didn't even want to touch them.
You can't touch them, mate. You can't touch them. It goes against everything I believe in. But there we go. Right, let's get into the next one here. Cowboys and the Titans, the All Queensland Derby, 4 o'clock on Sunday up there at Queensland Country Bank Stadium. And thankfully, Queensland by that stage will have fallen back into the line. No real concerns around the fading of the curtains. So daylight saving is off. Unchanged 17 for the Cowboys. Jake Granville playing his 200th. So wish him all the best for that significant milestone. So the wingers get dropped from the Titans. Dear, oh dear. Jojo Fifita and Harley Smith-Shields in. Philip Sammy and Alafiana Camperera. So there goes my season-leading try scorer out the window. David Fifita is back onto the bench. Isaac Liu is out under concussion protocol. Jamin Jolliffe in at the prop and Aaron Clark at lock. And Josiah Pahulu comes in for his debut match on the bench in the absence of Keenan Palacios. So am I right into how are those curtains up there, Tristan? Are they okay?
Yeah, the curtains are okay. And speaking about glass half full, the Titans have only lost 3 games so far this season and Charlotte's still undefeated running out the team. So still right. A few things we can hang our hats on. And you know, Matt, maybe the changing of the clocks might benefit them as well. But the market is certainly against them. $1.13 the Cowboys, $5.85 the Titans, 17.5 the total points. This game's already shifted from 15.5 to 17.5 and then 47.5 the total points. So as you say, there's only been a couple of little moves in the team lineup. I think Philip Sammy's probably out hurt after the crusher tackle in the first half. But yes, certainly Cam Pereira has definitely been dropped. So it'll be interesting how that one goes. It feels like the Desi probably gave him that spray behind closed doors, and maybe he's given them one last opportunity to try to perform, because I can sort of I personally would feel that Tommy Weaver would do a better job in the halves than Tanner Boyd, but probably throwing him into the Wolves in this game maybe isn't the right approach either. So it's a tricky one to work out the right approach, but certainly the market has got the Cowboys very, very firm favourites.
Well, there's so many angles to this game, isn't it? I mean, if we're looking at 48 points as a suggested total, if you think they're going to play a little bit of touch football, where do the points from the Titans come from? Because they've scored six as an average so far. Does that mean that we're going to see the Cowboys with 40 and the Titans with 6 again? Or then we've got a line of 7.5. The Cowboys,
Jared, I would not discount that.
Yeah, that's and very true, Jimmy. I mean, the Cowboys at home won 10 of the last 11 times these two teams have played in Townsville, and the Titans, when they travel interstate, are horrible or long distance. They've lost 9 of the last 11 on a long distance. I don't know where this form starts to turn around from them, and they're going to need to try and play some football, because I don't know that the defence is going to be the focus. I'm with the Cowboys, but I don't want to play with an 18-point line. The Cowboys the win, and I'm happy just to watch.
No, I'm going to take on the 18 line. I'll go the Cowboys. They would have been really disappointed with their performance for last week. You know, that's their big or one of their big games of the year, and I don't think they played well. Scotty Drinkwater didn't play well. Dearden was almost like a lone ranger out there. He's an amazing player. I understand why he's been named as the co-captain of this side just based on his actions alone. I don't know the bloke at all, but this is real concern for the Titans. They are. There doesn't seem to be any green shoots, Tristan, and that's the problem. Like, where's the one thing where you can hang your hat on and say, oh, well, at least this is something positive for the Titans? I can't see it. I can see the 18.5 getting there for the Cowboys and doing it. Well, I think it's into 17.5 now, isn't it? So I'll go the Cowboys minus 17.5 at $1.95.
Yeah, I'm gonna take you on, Jimmy. I'm going to show a little bit of support to the Titans, because I agree. I don't see a lot of green shoots, but I think this is the game where like all expectations gone. And Des has always said they need 5 games. This going into the start of the season, there was a lot of optimism up here. And I think I'm still not convinced by the Cowboys at this stage. And I certainly think they'll get the win. I think the Titans will be very, very hard press getting the 2 points. But I'd just love to see them put a little bit of backbone into this game and keep it close, and I think they might this weekend. So I'm going to take the plus 17.5 as a lunch bet, and I'm hoping that that you, next time you take the opposing side minus the 17.5, Jimmy, you put your hand over the Titans logo when you're doing it, because it's not a good look.
Who is it from Titans that listen? Is Joe?
Yes.
Sorry, Joe. Look, I'll leave the top sport one uncovered. Look, and just on that, Joe, hasn't Tristan thrown enough good money into that club? Now he's going to go again with his lunch bet. Anyway, all right. Jared, what are you doing? Sweeping around the back?
Mate, I could only be with the plus.
The Ooh. Plus?
Ooh.
So are you going with the plus?
I'm going with the plus.
There we go. I'll get one of those shirts down to you before long, Jared. We got a new batch coming. I'm not sure why I ordered them, but we got a new batch coming.
Last spot at $2 shop at Surfing Paradox.
Was that order the under over the same Titans total win score for the week other years, Tristan?
Points, yes.
And Ginny, I do think we have a new listener, and it might be a Mr. Hasler from Robina.
Oh, Mr. Hasler from Robina, my old mate Desi. Have I told him there's that many Desi Hasler stories when I played a year with him at Western Suburbs Magpies? One of the funniest was when he forgot to pick up Billy Dunn for training on a Saturday morning, and Tommy Rodonicus did the count around and went, 16? Where's Billy Dunn? And Des went, oh, Jesus, forgot to pick him up. He did come to me at training one day, loves a dollar, Des. So he's been very consistent with that. He said, Jimmy, I've got two words for you. I said, what's that, Des? Silver perch, aquaculture, mate, it's the future. I'm like, okay. He wanted to invest in aquaculture. I don't know why he wanted me involved. Maybe he'd be an investor.
I think the best one was his final year at Manly a couple of years ago, and he had a pair of shoes that he's been wearing for about 15 years. He was wearing them when he was at Manly the first time around, and when he came back from the Bulldogs, they were still his go-to dress shoes, and the players pinched one of them, and for months he was filthy and asking players, leaning on them and God knows what, and everybody is saying, no, nothing about it, Desi, and they're all waiting for him to finally have to buy a new pair of dress shoes. They go to presentation night, and a couple of days before, Desi finally goes out and buys a new pair of dress shoes, and so they presented the spare shoe to him at the presentation night.
Oh, that is good. I love that stuff. I love it. All right, final game of the round, Raiders up against the Eels. So this one down at Canberra, and this will be 6:15. So this will be a full night game here. Ricky Stewart's made the one change. Adam Oriotta coming in for Zach Hosking, who's out with concussion. Simi Sasangi comes onto the bench, his first game for the Raiders. Elliot Whitehead's still out with that calf injury. Bailey Simonson in for Morgan Harper. That's about a week too late. Bryce Cartwright's still out. Werren McGregg back into the 17, first game of the year for him after three games in the New South Wales Cup. What's your market doing on this one, Tristan?
Another really tricky game to price, and we've seen quite a bit of movement in this game both ways, actually, where we opened the game at Pick'em. It was $1.90, take your pick, and it moved all the way out to 2.5. But since we got to 2.5, there's been a bit of a push for the Eels, where it's now $1.80 Canberra, $2 Parramatta, 1.5 the line, and 43.5 the total points. So both these sides tricky to line up. The Raiders started really well against the Sharks and got run down, and obviously much has been said about the Tigers getting over the top of the Eels, and we're still trying to work out where they sit without Mitch Moses. But at the moment, from the betting side of things, it looks like it should be a good way to finish the round.
I certainly think the Eels improve here because, Brad Arthur was pretty clear post-game. What he thought was wrong, they got a little bit too fluffy, a little bit too complacent about their game, and probably expected to win and didn't respect the football or the yardage. And the Tigers deserve that victory all the way through, I thought, the second half. But down to Canberra, their record there is very poor, and now without Moses, lost 10 of their last 12 down in the capital. Moses, I think the key out is clearly his kicking game, also his goal kicking, but I think that the young fella at 6 will get better with the weeks as they go forward. I don't know what to expect with the Raiders here. I mean, they had the Sharks on toast last week. What was it, 14-0? Absolutely should have put that 18-0. Should have put that game completely to the bed and then have 36 points put through them by a team missing 6 forwards. Dear, oh, dear, that's one of their worst ever losses. And then back at home now, small favourites. We know their record as favourites at home is horrible. I just lean slightly to the Raiders to maybe bounce back here, but absolutely no idea.
Yeah, it's a challenging one, isn't it? They were like, if there was one thing that could characterise the Canberra Raiders over their first 3 weeks of this competition was the effort, right? Their effort was outstanding, and then their effort was great for the first 24 minutes against the Sharks, and then it just fell away dramatically. And you start looking at the list and then you go, ah, yeah, well, that makes sense because of their list. But as you say, Jared, so many out for that Cronulla side. And as for the Eels, totally, the goal kicking itself, you know, that's a win there for them. Mitchell Moses kicks that goal that Clint Gutherson misses. Dylan Brown and Blaise Talangi are too similar. Like, they're both running players. They're not, like, who's organising that side? It's probably Gutho. Gutho's doing it from the back or not even that far back. But, you know, so that Dylan Brown, Blaise Talangi, they're both very good players. Dylan Brown's an outstanding player, but you need that one person that's, you know, controlling things for the team, which, of course, is Mitchell Moses. So you understand why clubs wanted to pay a lot of money for him because of all the things that he can do. I'll go with the Eels, but with no confidence, the plus one and a half at $1.95. All right, Jared, you better give us your tips for the weekend and, of course, your best bet.
Well, folks, be careful with all that rain around some of these games, but I'm with the Storm Thursday night, Storm by 8, Roosters just by 6, Knights just by 4, Warriors by 4, Panthers by 4, very close games there, the Dolphins by 6, Cowboys by 14, so 7.5 won't be enough, and the Raiders by 2 in the final game. The best for mine, I want to go with the Dragons on a wet track with the plus start, plus 6.5, $1.90, my best.
That was out to $2, that one, too.
Yeah,
$2. Very generous from Tristan.
Yeah, I was similar. I think the Dragons are a very good chance at that plus, but I'm going to take us down to Brookvale and I'm going to continue to get Penrith to continue their march forward. I'm going to take the minus 3.5 at $1.90.
Okay, I'm going to go with the plus as well too, with the wet weather around Sydney, calling this game, looking forward to it. The Bulldogs up against the Roosters, a celebration of the 2004 Premiership winning side. The Bulldogs plus 10.5 at $1.85, and I will be cheering every Cowboys try come Sunday afternoon. Just to let you know.
Bulldogs plus 10.5 at $1.95, actually.
So $1.95.
Yeah, okay. Geez, the trader's been very generous. You must be sending him some messages whilst we're on here. There's been a couple of moves in your direction.
It's amazing.
So Jimmy's top up takes that to $1.85?
It does, yeah. $1.95 for everyone else, $1.85 for Jimmy.
Oh, righto. Jared, take us racing this weekend.
Championship Day, Jimmy. And what would Championship Day and Doncaster Day and Derby Day be without a very wet Randwick? Because it will be on Saturday. Listen, I want to go to the Doncaster. Absolutely ripping race. I love this race every year, have done for a long, long time. And clearly on a wet track, I think there's a couple here at a nice price. I want to back 2 in the race. So let's go to Randwick, Doncaster, race 8. I want to back number 4, Militarize, and number 12, Lady Laguna, each at somewhere around the $11 mark. I'll have 50 each on those two. Militarize, Jimmy, as we know from 12 months ago, he loves it when it's wet. And picked up a very nice result that some of us did back and some of us forgot to back. But yep. Lady Laguna, she's absolutely flying at the moment. Thought she got in very well with a lightweight here. And she also likes the wet track. So 2 at 11 bucks, that'll do me for Saturday. And as I collect on those, Jimmy, I'll turn the telly on to watch the game from Townsville.
Very nice. Very nice. What about you, Tristan? Have you got one for us?
Yeah, I'm going to take us to the Sires, Randwick Race 6. It's the return of all the Golden Slipper horses, and Storm Boy is still a firm favourite, 260 into 250. But I'm going to continue with that winning form of Lady Camelot. It's been $5 into 370 already. I think it's going to continue to firm as it gets closer to start time, and I'm going to lock us in at $3.70, Race 6, number 9, Lady of Camelot.
Staking plan?
I'm just going to stick on the nose there, Jimmy.
Okay, all right, no problem. Nice of you to mention another Will, which was a win for the listeners last week. What was that final price that we got there, Tristan? I think 240, 230?
Just a little bit less than that, Jimmy, but you got a winner. So you got the top flark. I think the problem is when everyone listens to your tips on a Wednesday, the plunge occurs. So I think we better go back to locking in a fixed price for you.
Yeah.
Was it $1.14?
Wasn't it $1.14?
This was the discussion that I was having with Charlotte. I was trying to convince Charlotte to run out on the ground. I got Jimmy sledging me about the price of the top fluctuation. There was a lot happening on Saturday night.
Maybe the lay of the day on Saturday, Jimmy. Are you buttering up?
Another Will?
Yes.
Well, funny you mentioned that, Jared, because I love going this, and no doubt Mr. Merlihan will sort something out for us here, but I'm going to go to Randwick Race 8. That's the Doncaster.
Here we go.
I have a different runner to you. I've got Kovalika. Knowing that the sting out of the track, lots of rain around, we've talked about it all throughout the podcast, 1,800 metres or 2,000 metres. That's what it feels like. That's what it feels like. So race is going to suit this Chris Waller runner, deep field, and another wheel looks hard to beat. But each way bet on Kovalika. Now, my understanding is that right now at Top Sport, it is $17 and $4.60. So all important staking plan here, Tristan. I'm going to go with the old 30-70. Thanks very much. The 30-70.
All right, that's locked in.
Okay. And clearly we need to have a lunch bet.
Yeah,
so work this one out, Tristan. How do we do it?
Yeah, so I'm just trying to think this through because obviously Jared's got two runners and they're both shorter in the market than your selection. So I think a fair solution of being a bystander to this this head-to-head battle, potentially what if Jimmy's horse beats one of Jared's home?
Okay, so Jimmy's horse beats one of mine home.
Mm.
No, I could win the race and run last and still lose a lunch bet.
Well, you know, that's just the ups and downs of racing, Jared.
That's a starting point of the negotiations. I'm battling with my negotiations.
Okay, just looking at the prices and you wanted to lay another wheel. What if you give me another wheel and the lowest score of finishing positions wins?
Okay. I'll do that.
All right. We need to get the terms and conditions set out in an email on this one. I would have thought.
We do. We need to get the calculator out. You'll be hoping for mass scratchings as well, Jimmy, and the TJ Smith for the rain. You'll be praying for the rain.
So another wheel plus Kovalika.
Yep.
And then you've got your two. And just say mine finished first and second, which will be very hard for me to be beaten there, but that equals three. How's that?
Beautiful.
All right, done.
And you can still get beat, Jared, if you run first and last.
Yes.
Which would be a great sight to see.
So, Jared, you could win.
Listen, if I run first and last but pick 550 up, I'll be okay.
Well, I was going to say, you can win your bet, I can win my bet, and I can still win the lunch bet. So that'd be, geez, wouldn't that be a lovely outcome?
Jimmy, I'll tell you a little exact that we do need to take. My two and yours.
Yeah?
Box them up for the exacta.
All right. Tristan, is it you have the capacity to say yay or nay to that? Are we prepared to put additional funds on that?
I'll do that. I'll put a boxed exacta for those three runners in the Doncaster. No worries at all.
Okay. All right. Okay. How good's racing?
It's
a bookmaker, Tristan. this is fun.
It's a ripper day too.
Oh, very good. And unfortunately, rain. But anyway, we can't do anything about that. It is beyond our control. Gentlemen, it's been fun. Enjoy your weekend of footy. Enjoy your weekend of racing. And we will do it next week.
And enjoy the lunch bets.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I promise you won't hear anything from me until the podcast the next week.
Reading the Play is Australia's favourite source of NRL and horse racing tips. Our professional analysts provide the sporting enthusiast with the best of the best. Get the best professional tips and previews from our tipsters direct to your phone. Readingtheplay.com.